All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R. Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, April 15th, 2013. How are you? How are you doing this week? Do you feel like this week is going to be a good one? Today's episode is brought to you by Ting. Please visit bill.ting.com for a $25 service credit or device discount. And I know what you're saying. What is Ting? Well, I'm going to tell you later on in the podcast. I'm building up advertising suspense. Today's episode is brought to you by Cheerios. Oh, what are those things again? I can't remember. Sitting on the edge of my seat. The seat in my cubicle. How are you guys? Can you hear that fucking engine running right now? Do you know where your lovely host is? I'm on a fucking bus, man. I've been going through the South. You know, they call it the Dirty South, and I got to tell you, I haven't seen any filth down here. Other than a couple of whores. No, seriously. It's been an absolutely beautiful trip. And this time, old Billy Redface decided, instead of getting in a little-ass fucking car and driving a fucking 1,000 miles all over the South as I toured around, I actually got a little bus here. And I've been on the road with Paul, dude, I called it Verzi, and Jason Lawhead. And we've been doing shows and drinking like the fucking Rat Pack. I don't think I've ever drank so much in my fucking life. If you guys ever get a chance to travel by bus, okay? And I know you've all done it. And I'm not talking about that Peter Pan Greyhound shit, right? Where you and 70 other people that you don't even fucking know get on a goddamn bus, right? Somebody takes a shit 2 feet away from you. Not talking about that. I'm not talking about sleeping upright. But the weight of your head waking you up every time they go over a fucking bump. I'm not talking about that either. I'm talking about getting your own bus. Getting your own fucking bus. And watching Anchorman. And drinking booze. As somebody else drives. It's the greatest fuck. This is right now. I'm going to tell you this. And I'm going right through until Wednesday. This has been the greatest. This is how big I'm going. This has been the greatest fucking road trip of my life. This is perfect. Because you know what gets you when you're out here, people? It's not the shows. Oh, no. It's the travel. That's what fucking beats you up when you're an old fuck like me.
This is going to be a very full flight. People, please don't put your coats in the overhead compartments.
And then you see the cunts doing it. Right? We've oversold the flight. You know, you fucking land. They don't have your bags. You fucking go out in the cab line. It's fucking 90,000 people long. Starts raining. You put your shoulders up. To quote my own fucking special, right? You're standing out there with your little stupid bag. Middle of fucking nowhere, right? You finally get the cab. You can't understand the guy. He can't understand you. You don't know if he's going the long way. It's a flat fee, $200 to the hotel. Really? I don't think that's true. It's on the sticker. Read the sticker, my friend. Right? Deal with that shit. Then you get to the hotel. The fucking cab leaves. You bring your bag up. Hello, sir. Welcome to fucking DoucheCon Hotel. Do you have an ID? Yeah, and you give them the ID, and then, ooh, could it be under another name? You know, and they can't find your fucking room. Then you finally get a fucking room. You go to the hotel, the fuck up to the goddamn. We get it, Bill. No, fuck you. I'm taking you through all of it. You get up there, and the fucking key doesn't work. You finally go back down. You get a key that works. You go back up. It works. You go in there. You know? Smells like Jack Klugman. You're like, what the fuck's going on? You call downstairs. Do you have another room? This one smells like Archie Bunker took a shit in here. No, I'm sorry, sir. We don't have another room, and there's no reason to use that language. Oh, yes, there is. Smells like somebody who smokes cigars took a shit in here. And fought in Korea, all at the same time. All right, well, see, when you get on a bus, all of that is over. You know, you pull in, you go to a Walmart, you fucking stock up the fridge with food and booze, then you just get on the fucking thing and somebody else drives you. You sit there with your friends watching Anchorman getting, you don't drink. You don't drink before the show. But after, let me tell you something. No, this thing's been great. We just pull right up to the goddamn venue. You know, there's a shower on the bus, right? You're good to go. The other guys get hotel rooms. I haven't been off this bus in fucking 8 days. And you know what? I love it. I'm living in a bubble. I don't even know what the fuck's going on in the world. And furthermore, I don't even give a shit. That's how much of a great mood I'm in. We pull right up to the venue. I get off the bus. I walk into the venue. I do the show. Fucking in a great mood. Everybody has a good time. I then fucking walk out front. Whore myself out. Show a little leg. Sell some DVDs. Smile and wave. Kiss a couple of babies. Then I fucking walk right back onto the bus. And we leave town. It's the fucking... And then we start drinking. It's the greatest fucking thing ever. So, I gotta be honest. I don't think this podcast is gonna be the podcast. I don't even think it's gonna be so too funny because nothing bad happened to me. Nothing bad happened to me this week, you know. Other than the fact that this fucking bus trip is gonna end, I got three more dates. I'm gonna be in Tampa tonight for two shows. Then I do Florida State on Tuesday, and then Wednesday I'm in Miami, and then it's over. And then you know what? Then I have to go back to the real world. World where I have a dog with fucked up back feet. And I have a woman, you know? You know what I've been thinking this whole goddamn week? And Nia's going to kill me. But you know something? I wish I fucking, you know, could have done this like 10 years ago, 15 years ago when I was single. Because I got to tell you something. There is no easier way to bring a bunch of whores out of a club if you tell them you got your own bus. Oh, God knows they love shiny shit. You have your own thing? What? Can I see it? Unfortunately, you can't, sweetheart. Speaking of whores, she's not a whore. But I saw this story, right? Where the fuck is it? Oh, no. Really? Is this going to happen? Is this going to ruin my fucking mood? Why am I so dumb? Anyways, there was this giant street party at Rutgers, right? And some pretty girl. Did I just say pretty girl? Some pretty girl. When the cops showed up, she got pepper sprayed. Because she wouldn't put down her frisbee. That's what she said. Not saying the old joke, but seriously, that was her comment. You know, so then you watch the video, and she's wearing this dumb neon hat. And you see her the first time the cops come down the street, she's giving them the finger and then doing the suck my dick motion. Right there, if I'm on the jury, two words, rightfully maced. You can't do that. Why would you give the finger and in the jerk off move? You're standing next to a burning couch, or had they not lit? Was the couch already on fire? It was insane. It was like seven fucking houses. And all the parties were going on at once, and then they just sort of all met out in the street. Looked like a phenomenal party. But, you know, when the cops show up, it's over. You know, you don't start fucking game. I got it. That's one of those. That's a classic fucking chick move. I don't want to speak for all guys here, but I got to tell you right now, one of the last things I would ever do is when a police cruiser is pulling up would be to be giving it the finger, not with one hand, both hands, and then going like, you know, acting like I'm jacking my dick onto their fucking car. That is the last thing, probably the last move. Let's run through the moves that you could possibly fucking make. That you could possibly fucking make when the cops show up. One, the classic, turn the other way and begin walking away in a brisk manner that doesn't draw too much attention to you. So it doesn't look like you're guilty, okay? You just sort of casually turn around, slip behind a couple people, then crouch down and fucking run as though you're trying not to get hit by a sniper. Disappear into the hedges. There's always hedges when you're outside partying. Slip into the hedges. Crawl on your fucking elbows and knees. Get to the backyard. Go over the fence and just get the fuck out of there. And ignore the people that stare at you as you come over the fence with your dirty knees and elbows. That's option number one. Option number two is do the classic. Just put your hands up like, okay, all right, we get it. You're here. It's over. You know? Option number three, stand there very still and then slowly do the sidestep. Stop. Slowly do another sidestep. Stop. Yeah, slowly get the fuck out of there. You know what I'm saying? Where is fucking give the double finger and jack your dick onto the cruiser? I guess you could do that too. Then you run, right? You don't fucking stand there with your frisbee. It's, I don't know, I've done this bit a zillion times. It's just a classic, just, they don't know any better. This girl was beautiful. This girl has a vagina. You know, and a lot of you don't realize, not all of them, not all women have vaginas. You know, it's that lucky 99.9% of them that have them. And she had them. She had them. She had one, and that was it. She's standing there. What a fucking moron. And, of course, they post it on YouTube or whatever, on Facebook, and then it becomes some sort of a fucking story. This whole fucking young generation of kids, it's so weird. Do you realize they're, like, spying on themselves? I wonder if any of them believe in conspiracy theory. They probably don't. They got to be like, you know what? Nobody's, we're spying on each other. These fucking assholes, every time they do something, they film it. They're sitting there filming. They light a couch on fire, which I don't know. What is that? Is that a misdemeanor? I don't know what it is. I know it's not. I know it's not legal. I know it's not legal to light a couch on fire and to be chanting, burn that shit, burn that shit in the fucking in the street. See, that's some shit when I was younger. We would have done it, but we didn't film it. Not because we're smarter. Because you know what you had to do to film shit when I was a kid? When I was of college age, you know, you had to know somebody who fucking knew how to do that reel-to-reel shit. Knew how to splice and cut and put the fucking edit tape on, you know, like you're making a Beatles album. It wasn't worth it. Dude, when I was in college, holy shit, that just freaked me out. You know what happened? I just stood up and accidentally, in my bare feet here, stepped on the goddamn power pack thing of the cord. And it was just warm enough to feel like it was something that was alive, like a rodent. I thought I just stepped on a fucking mouse. You ever have something like that happen and that caveman DNA kicks in? That fucking fight or flight? Is that a saber-toothed tiger kind of thing, right? Anyways, this is the Monday Morning Podcast. All right, now, ladies, I know you're beautiful. I know you got the vajayjays, as fucking Oprah says, all right? But do yourself a favor. When the cops show up, don't give them the finger and start jacking your non-existent dick. Or maybe you do, but if you do, get the fuck out of there. And if you stand around and they're coming up to you, put your frisbee over your face, you dumb fucks. Oh my God, I can't believe I got maced. All I was doing was drinking, participating in the burning of a couch in the street. The double finger was given to the police officers and I jerked a non-existent dick. The dick wasn't even there. I mean, I don't know. I could see if I actually had a dick, you know, and I pulled it out. Your Honor, I don't have a penis. How could he mace me? There's something hilarious about a beautiful girl getting maced, you know? At least there is to me. There's just always something funny about that shit to me. Like I'm saying this like I've seen beautiful women get maced all the time. I haven't, but I fantasized about it. It's just funny every once in a while when they get treated like us. Welcome to the real world, sweetheart. Yep, he did that, and he's going to get away with it, and there's nothing you can do about it, all right? So why don't you go upstairs, go rinse out your eyes with some tomato soup or whatever the fuck you're supposed to do. Actually, tomato soup, that's what you're supposed to do when you get sprayed by a skunk. I know that because I've watched a couple of movies. Anyways, what the fuck am I doing here? Let's get some advertising out of the way so we can get back to the podcast here. E-Voice, everybody. All right? E-Voice, are you trying to start your own business? All right? Are you stuck in a soul-sucking job and you have a great idea for a business that's going to put you in the driver's seat? All right? Rather than you sitting around every 6 months to 8 months to get reviewed, to figure out how many more quarters an hour they're going to give you. You're like, you know what? I want to be in the driver's seat. If I'm going to work 12 hours a day, I'm going to do it for me. Okay? Me. I want to be in a position where I can't be fired because I'm not going to fire myself. That would be the weirdest way to kill yourself. You know, sort of some long, drawn-out suicide. You fire yourself from your own company, you know, and you don't give yourself any sort of workman's comp or unemployment. You become homeless. Walk around bitter, mad at yourself. I'm sorry. E-Voice, everybody. It's the reason you're going to make more money in 2013. When your customers call, you'll have your own toll-free number, professional greeting, dial-by-name, directory, and more. They'll just set it right up. From day one, the second you sign up for this, you're going to sound like you have a giant company. You sound like a Fortune 500 company, and you'll blow away your competitors. E-Voice lets you give out one number that rings wherever you are. The beach, the bar, doesn't matter. You'll sound like you're at the office. Isn't that wonderful? In other words, when you're at your real day job, when that thing rings, all you do is you run into the bathroom. Then the echo of the bathroom sounds like you're in your giant office. You've got to go to evoice.com and use the promo code Bill, B-I-L-L. E-Voice takes care of all your voicemails, transcribes them, and sends them to you instantly as a text or email. So you can check voicemails before the meeting ends and not look rude. E-Voice is only 10 bucks a month. 10 bucks a month to get your dream going. For a long time, my listeners have been able to get a free trial of E-Voice for 6 months, but this is about to come to an end. All right? Make sure you sign up for the free trial of E-Voice between now and the end of the month and get a 6-month free trial before it's too late. Please, people, go after your dream. It's your last chance to try this great service free for 6 months. 6 months for free. Get your business going, and after that, it's $10 a month. There's nothing I want more for you people than to go after your dreams, make them happen, get on a bus, and get some whores. That last part is optional, but don't get the one in the green hat. If you do, for the love of God, keep her inside for when the cops show up. LegalZoom.com, everybody. All right, look, you got a plan for your future. All right, this is all the stuff that I'm selling you right now. This is how to get out of your damn cubicle. All right, E-Voice, you got the whole voicemail stuff. Now here you got LegalZoom.com. All right, you got a plan for your future. You do financial planning. You get insurance. But to get real peace of mind, you got to make sure your family is legally protected. So where do you turn for affordable legal protection you can trust? LegalZoom.com. For over 12 years, they've been helping Americans get personalized wills, powers of attorneys, living trusts, and real estate documents, and more. LegalZoom also helps start and maintain business with incorporation and LLC filings, trademarks, and copyrights. What a great thing if you're starting your own business. Their time-saving service was developed by a team of experienced attorneys, and LegalZoom takes care of you from start to finish. LegalZoom documents have been accepted by courts and government agencies in all 50 states. Okay, LegalZoom is not a law firm, but they can connect you to an attorney and provide self-help services at your specific direction. For even more savings, enter Burr in the referral box at checkout. If you're a parent or an entrepreneur, don't wait any longer. Call or visit LegalZoom.com and protect what's yours. There you go. Something in there reminded me of something. Oh, I know. We did the Tabernacle Theater Friday night here in Atlanta. And I got to tell you, the Tabernacle, I guess it's called, yeah, just called the Tabernacle. Here in Atlanta, right up there with Carnegie Hall. One of the most beautiful theaters I ever performed in. The crowds were amazing. And Jesus Christ, I'm sitting there thinking how beautiful the theater is, and I literally forgot what the fuck I was talking about. I just had it. What is that, by the way, people? What is that thing where you fucking think about something to talk about, then you forget it, then you remember it, and then you start talking, and then you fucking forget it. Am I the beginning of Alzheimer's here? Is this what it is? Am I going to stop knowing people's fucking names? That'll be the worst. Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for letting us know that Alzheimer's stinks, because without you, we wouldn't have known that. All right, go fuck yourselves, okay? Let's not ruin my good time. The fuck did I want to talk about? What the fuck happened in Atlanta? Oh, I know. So we've been in Atlanta for the last couple of days, all right? So a couple people go, hey, you know, we're going to Cheetah's strip club. You want to go? And I have not been to a titty bar in like fucking, shit, why did I say the name of it? Because now I'm going to trash the place. I haven't been to a titty bar in like, I would say maybe 7 years. They're stupid. You go in there, you get all fucking excited, and then nothing happens, and then you leave, and you don't have any money. It's the dumbest fucking thing you could ever do. And there's always a bunch of fat white dudes in there on some business trip, smoking cigars, trying to act like they're fucking running shit, and they're not. I don't like them, you know? We'll figure what the fuck, I'll go, everybody's gonna go, yeah, let's fucking go. We went there, bored, shitless. Bored, shitless. You know what the most exciting thing was about when I went to that fucking strip club? Was one of the people I was hanging out with, I found out was actually a banker. All right? And I know you guys think I'm out of my mind. You're always going, oh, you fucking conspiracy theory whack job. I hit this guy with every fucking thing that I think of I know about banks. And he just kept nodding, going, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. You're right. I fucking told him that whole thing about how, you know, I had the water damage on my house and the check for my insurance company came, made out to me, Nia, and my fucking mortgage company. You know? And I'm like, those motherfuckers don't think I'm going to pay off the house. And they go, no, they don't. I go, that's right. They think that it's going to take me 30 fucking years. And by the time that, I'll be in my 70s. And by then, one of my kidneys will fail. At which point, my health insurance won't kick in. So I'll have to sell the house. They'll get another 30-year-old in there. And they'll bend him over the fucking rail for 60. And he was going, you're absolutely right. Absolutely fucking right. And I was like, so how do you fucking do it? He goes, hey, I don't fuck over individuals. He goes, I fuck over businesses. See, that's how it works. You know, I didn't make the call. I was just following orders. It's the same shit those Nazi fucking people said when they were up in the guard towers. Well, they were fighting for fucking Hitler. It's the exact same fucking thing. They justify it in their head that I'm not, you know, even though I'm part of this evil fucking thing, I'm just doing this one little thing here, you know? And I just kept hammering them, going, dude, you know, but you're helping to push the rock up the hill. And he goes, and he just started laughing, going, Jesus Christ, you know, I'm trying to fucking enjoy myself here. And then I actually felt bad on some level. I went all the way up to the Federal Reserve, and the guy, the banker, looked at me. He said, "The only thing federal," he said, "the Federal Reserve is as federal as Federal Express." He goes, "They're evil." And I was just like, "Well, how the fuck are you in that business?" You know, and this one, at that point, we were a little bit drunk, and he's just like, "Well, what the fuck am I supposed to do?" He said the bankers just sit there and they're like, "My job is to make fucking money. That is my job." He proceeded to tell me that the bank he works for somehow in 3 months made $6 billion. He's like, "How is that fucking possible?" Legally, I don't think it is. Or maybe it is. You know, when everybody goes to work all week and then just gives you their money. That's one of the greatest fucking scams ever. Do you realize we all work all fucking week? They give you a piece of paper with numbers on it. They never give you the money. They just give you a piece of paper that has numbers on it. Then you take that piece of paper and you give it to some of the most crooked fucks ever to keep it safe. It's like every American, everybody on the planet, you get mugged every week. And you don't even realize it. You're not even getting mugged because you're turning it over. You fucking hand it to those assholes. The money you earned, the money I earned. Then they take that money. They loan it back to us at fucking interest. And then they like invent more money that isn't even there off of the money that we put in there. They basically, they legally counterfeit money. Like if they get a deposit at 10 grand, they can legally loan out 10 grand, $10,000 to like four or five different people. 10,000 for you, 10,000 for you, 10 for you, 10 for you. When there's only 10,000, they just invented another 30 grand that isn't even there. And that's what the fuck happens. Because then when those fuckers don't pay that off, the 10 grand, all of a sudden, now like 20 grand off of 10 grand isn't fucking paid off. I think you guys are smart enough to do the math. I swear to God, I really wish I recorded the conversation when he just kept going, "You're right, you're right." And all the fucking people, Anthony Cumia from the wonderful Opie and Anthony program, who laughs and shakes his head at me, you know? I was really wishing he was there, and every cunt that ever called me a fucking conspiracy theorist, like I fucking believe that the moon is made out of cheese, like that's what I'm telling you, right? Like I'm saying the sun is actually a camera in the sky by the fucking Illuminati. I never said any shit like that. All right, I said a couple of crazy ones. My fucking banker ones. Evidently, this guy who was drunk in a titty bar told me that I was right. And none of you guys were there, and I don't have the audio to prove it, but I'll go fuck you. You know what I sound like? This is like the verbal version of that chick standing in the street. I should have on that lime green hat, just fucking miming, jerking my own dick off, you know? Am I really any better than that frisbee whore cunt? Ah, she's not a cunt. She's not a whore either. I don't. You know what? You know something? I'm going to reserve judgment because I have no fucking idea. You know, when you really think about it, you really can't tell who somebody is just from a goddamn video. All right, shut the fuck up, Bill. So anyways, I'm on this bus all week, and me and Verzi and fucking Lawhead one night, where the hell were we coming from? Well, I'll give you the whole tour. We went to the NCAA championship game Monday night, which was one of the sickest basketball games I've ever seen in my life. We were in a football stadium watching a basketball game. The game eventually sold out because a lot of people in Atlanta, a lot of sports fans, got upset with me for describing 100% accurately their sports fandom. Is that the proper word? Seeing that dude, Luke, come off the bench and hit fucking four three-pointers in a row. And after three, that alley-oop jam was the sickest thing. That dude, Spike whatever. I'm not the biggest college hoop fan. Spike whatever fucking from Michigan. You know what Lawhead was joking about? I said he was joking, like saying in the first half, It was white dudes dominating the game. With outside shots, of course. God knows our game has never been above the rim. White dudes were dominating that game. And then in the second half, black dudes just took it over. And Lawhead was cracking us up, saying basically they were doing a reenactment of basketball history. I like the first half was like when fucking Bob Cousy, you know, back when you couldn't put your hand on the side of the ball, you had to have it right on top of the ball. You ever watch that shit? You ever watch old basketball highlights? And people always go like, oh my God, these guys suck. They didn't suck. If you put your hand on the side of the ball to go to the side, that was considered a carry. They've made all these fucking rules by the way, have all been great rules. You know, to allow these athletes to reach the pinnacle of their sports artistry. I almost didn't get that out. But it was an unbelievable game. And there was this fucking Louisville fan sitting behind us. And, dude, I got to tell you, we were on the lower level and we still needed binoculars. I'm not even going to lie to you. I mean, it was like, if we were at like an Atlanta Falcons game, we would have been eighth row in the end zone. All right? Because we literally could see the wall where they would actually have like the post 9/11 people glaring at you with their yellow coats on, you know? But instead, because it was basketball, there was like a fenced area where you couldn't go past. And then there was a whole nother section of about 20 rows of these padded seats, right? And then in front of that was a whole nother 20 section of just students. And it was the Michigan kids. Who, by the way, Michigan used to be the blue and maize. Now it's just the maize. I got to tell you, some of these fucking uniforms and some of this shit, it's the loudest shit I've seen since the 79 Pirates. And considering that they're in the midst of making Anchorman Part 2, I think it's very... I was actually thinking that, you know, they make fun of the clothes from back then in like the late 70s and everything. When they do the Anchorman of this time right now, you know, with sports and that type of thing, if there's ever somebody as big as a genius as Will Ferrell in like 20 years is making fun of this era, it's going to be shit like that. Like those uniforms when Michigan played Syracuse. I mean, that was just fucking ridiculous. Those yellow sneakers and the orange sneakers. That's just something I'm going to say within maybe 4 years. Well, actually, probably 4 years it'll start to die off. So I'll say within 10 years, you're going to look back at those things and be like, Jesus Christ, the fuck were we thinking? I saw a couple of Michigan fans with the old school, like, you know, the blue, where it says Michigan in yellow. It's funny as hell. It looked like HD mustard. And they were all chanting, go blue. It's like, you guys don't have any fucking blue on anymore. But I have to tell you. We were sitting on the Michigan side. And, you know, I flunked everything in fucking high school. And they used to sit there and try and scare the shit out of me. You know, going, you need 2 years of a language. You got to make sure your GPA is above a 3.6. So you're not going to get it. Blah, 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 blah. And you sat there and you're sitting there fucking nodding off, just not giving a shit. I got to tell you, I went to that fucking basketball game. And the entire student section turned around, faced us, and like almost was doing like this half tomahawk chop thing. They went, go! And then everybody behind us went, blue! Go! Blue! The whole fucking section going nuts. And I said to fucking Verzi, I said, you know, my freshman in high school, year in high school, instead of scaring the shit out of me academically, they just should have shown me a video of this. Going, you know what? If you actually study in high school, you can participate in something like this. And I would have been like, well, you know what? I'm going to go home and hit the books. I would have done that. Instead of telling me all the academic shit that I need, they should have showed me how fun college could have been if I actually studied and went to a real fucking school. You know? I didn't. I fucked up. My freshman year of high school, I went in there and I was thinking I was going to be a lawyer and I was going to go to Notre Dame University. Those were my goals. By the time sophomore year came around, I was looking at Wentworth College, and I was considering getting into construction. What a fucking idiot. Now I go around to all these big schools. You know, I fucking go to these games. Go to like an LSU game or a Georgia Bulldog game, Ohio State, Michigan. You just go to these fucking things. And you just see these kids. I hope the kids appreciate it. Maybe that's what, you know, I think maybe you have to be like me to really fucking appreciate how awesome it is to go to a school that has such an insane fucking sports program. You know, this is what I'm jealous about those college kids, is that for the rest of their lives, they can kind of stay connected to their college by following the teams. And if they ever want to have like a mini reunion with their tailgate friends, you just pick a game once a year and you go to it and have a great fucking time. You know? Oh, Jesus, did I fuck up? It's making me sad. But you know what makes me happy, everybody? Never having to go to the post office again. Oh, that was a nice segue. Stamps.com, everybody. You postage meter companies used to have the monopoly on printing postage. They could charge you an arm and a leg to print postage from your own office, but those days are over. Now you can use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you can get all the benefits of a postage meter, but at the fraction of the cost. All you need is your computer, printer, and Stamps.com to get official U.S. postage for any letter or any package, any class of mail. Plus, you'll never have to step foot in the post office again. Everything you would need to do at the post office, you can do right from your own desk. It's so convenient. I don't know why you wouldn't do it. If somebody as dumb as me can use Stamps.com, you know, to send out my DVDs to all my wonderful shows. Look, if I can figure it out, so can you. So don't be intimidated. Don't be an old fuddy-duddy like me, like, well, I've always gone to the post office and I still want to go because it's comfortable. Step outside your comfort zone and improve your quality of life. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer. No risk trial, plus $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale and a $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right. Back to the podcast. Don't save. There we go. Where the hell am I? All right, let's get to reading some of your questions for this week. I never finished that story. So we get done. We did Athens the first night. Down, what is that? It's northeast of Atlanta. First day we went to the basketball game. The next day the tour starts. Right now we have to go to work. Pay for all the fucking money we spent the night before. I don't think at the end of this, I don't think I made any money. But I had a great fucking time. All right? My quarterly taxes are due. This is going to be a rough one. Somebody's going to be eating Fruit Loops. So we do Athens, Georgia first. Right? And we're all fucking giddy, just freaking out. We do the gig. Have a great time. This beautiful theater. I really don't have any funny fucking stories because everything just worked out this week. It was a Tuesday night. The place was packed. What happened on that show? Nothing. We just had a great time. I did have to get into it with one guy. One guy just kept screaming and yelling. He was too excited. So I went off on him and I ended it with, "I'm ashamed of you." Which is quite possibly one of the funniest things one grown man could say to another one. I am ashamed of you. Then we got off. We got on the bus because we were driving up to... did we stay on the bus that night? No. We drove up to Hoover, Alabama. Oh, all right. Now I can take you through the week. So we go up to Hoover, Alabama to play the Stardome the next night. We go up there. Fucking Alabama, by the way. Absolutely beautiful fucking state. I would retire. I'm actually thinking about retiring there. For the simple fact, nobody fucking retires there. You've never heard that in your life. People retire where they go. Out west, everybody goes to fucking Arizona. Right? And out east, everybody goes to Florida. The Midwest people, they retire in the Carolinas. All right? Nobody fucking retires Nobody from outside of Alabama retires in Alabama. Hence, you can get like 90 acres for about $67. Go out there, get me a spread. Right? I don't know. I couldn't get a direct flight anywhere. That would suck unless I was going to Mississippi. But who cares at that point? I think that that's what you do. Is you go to really expensive fucking places like New York, L.A., Chicago, and you bust your fucking ass your whole fucking life. You make a bunch of goddamn money, and then in the end, you retire to a beautiful state that nobody wants to go to for some stupid fucking reason. And then all the assets that you've accrued, you sell those things, and they're worth three times as much down in fucking Alabama. You just retire there. Get yourself a giant fucking dish. You get all the sports channels. It's not like they don't have food down there, you know? And then pick a school, Alabama or Auburn. Crimson Tide or War Eagle. And enjoy yourself. Just a good old boy. Right? So then we did Hoover, Alabama. And this is the best part. Right after Hoover, Alabama, we had to be in Columbia, South Carolina the next night, which I've never been to. So it was one of those deals where it was the second the show was over, we got on the bus and we just started driving. And we got a bottle of Maker's and we just started pouring drinks. We popped in fucking Anchorman, watched that, laughed our asses off. And I don't know. We just polished off the bottle somewhere about 4 or 5 hours into the fucking trip. By the way, we're supposed to be sleeping. We're supposed to be sleeping, and the bus driver who slept during the day, he's supposed to be up driving, you know? So we get about 4 hours into this 8-hour trip, and we the guy pulls over the bus, and he goes, look, he's like, we're going to get there too early, you know, for when we check in at the hotels, you know? So we just got to kind of chill here for a minute, sleep on the bus. And we're like, yeah, cool, no worries. So he goes to bed. I'm going to bed. He goes to bed. And we keep fucking drinking. Somewhere in the middle of that, me and Verzi get into this giant fucking New York-Boston argument that I think went on for like 40 fucking minutes. It was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And then got real for like 3 minutes. And then got hilarious again. So fucking stupid. People from those two cities will never get along. And then finally, I don't know what happened. At like 5 in the morning, I was just like, guys, I got to go to bed. Right? Verzi and fucking Lawhead are like, yeah, no worries, no worries. Right? So I fucking go back in the back, go to bed. And evidently, Verzi and Lawhead just kept going. The bus driver wakes up at like 8:30 in the morning, comes from the back, walks up to the front of the bus, opens the door, and he sees fucking Lawhead and Verzi still sitting there drinking. And he goes, man, you got to be fucking kidding me. And I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but this bus driver has seen a lot of shit. He's driven a lot of people. So to get this guy to be like, man, you got to be shitting me, was a major fucking accomplishment. I'll take you through the tour real quick. So then the next night we drove into Columbia, South Carolina, which is, from what I hear, just like Savannah, Georgia, except nicer, as the people there said. And I don't know. I got up around like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock or some shit. And I just walked 2 miles from where we parked the bus outside the hotel and went down to the whole old area of South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina. It was fucking insane. This is a place where, like, bankers retire after they steal money for 60 years. I was sitting there walking down the street, and there's some horse-drawn, like, carriage thing that people are, like, taking a tour of the area and all these old homes. The lady has the rebel Confederate hat on, minus the flag, right? And she's like, if y'all look over there, that house is for sale for $9 million. This old-ass fucking house, and I'm looking at it, like, probably 100 to 150 years older than my house. This thing maybe is from the early 1800s, right? And if not the 1700s. And I'm just thinking of all the bullshit that I've gone through with my house. that's 90 years old. And that's all I saw. I'm like, you're going to pay fucking $9 million for that? Really? That's what you're going to do? And you're going to be out fucking, you know, at the movies and a pipe is going to burst and you're going to have to deal with that bullet? Go fuck yourself. If you pay $9 million for a house, you're an asshole. You're an asshole. All right? You're in banking. That's what I would guess. You're either in banking or you worked for insurance companies and collected premiums. And then when people's fucking gallbladders bursted, you didn't give them the fucking money. You either did that or you invented the Floby. Other than that, I don't know how. You either just straight up steal shit legally or you fucking, you come up with just some dumb shit. The jack chop, right? Some sort of thing to chop up lettuce, you know, or make fat people more comfortable. That's another one, right? All right, here we go. In limbo. Hey, Bill, I'm 22 years old from the suburbs, Lawn Guy Land, the youngest of four, and I guess you could say I'm the black sheep of the family. I didn't go to college after high school, mainly because I had no clue what I wanted to do, and I didn't see how spending $3,000 at a shitty community college would help me figure that out. $3,000? Dude, see, now that's where you want to go to college, where it's $3,000. You come out of there, you're not swimming in debt, but you have no team to follow. Anyways, however, I'm a decent musician and have acted in a friend's student films, and people told me I'm somewhat talented in that area. For the past years or so, I've become clinically depressed. I feel that there isn't much left for me here, and I'm sick of my friends. I was thinking about moving to L.A. with a friend and his brother. I'm hoping I can find some things out there and just mainly to get away from the life I have now. Also looking forward to all the low self-esteem struggling actress ass I've heard so much about. However, over that last year or so, my relationship with my family has not been going so well. Should I stick around and work on my life here and put the pieces back together or go out there and meet some new people and have some new experiences? Yeah, fucking come out to L.A. or wherever the hell you want to go. I think you're depressed because you're in a circle of people that are all following the same fucking lead buffalo over that cliff. All right? You're still going to go over a cliff, as we all do, but you want to be following a buffalo that's going in the fucking direction you want to go to. Oh, my God, he's using animals as a metaphor. Sir, I would say, I mean, if you're clinically depressed, I mean, I don't know, if you have something fucking like, you know, chemically going on, I can't help you with that. But if you're just fucking depressed because, you know, doing what all your friends and family is doing and it's just soul-sucking every goddamn day, I can help you with that, all right? If you're clinically fucking depressed, I mean, you need to see a doctor or some shit, you know? I don't know. See what sort of witchcraft he can offer you. But if you're just fucking depressed, I mean, I would definitely go for a change of scenery. But I would also say if you're stepping into to a life of the arts, like you really have to have a game plan the same way somebody who's going to become a banker does. Like a banker goes, okay, I'm going to join this evil business and I'm going to make as much fucking money as I possibly can. And if I have to make old people who actually fought for this country have to eat Alpo for the rest of their fucking lives because we're going to rape and pillage their 401ks, these are the steps I need to do. One, shut off all feelings for other human beings. You know, they make a list. Justify my evil by saying I'm a small part of the bigger evil, but my evil is actually a very low level of evil amongst the ridiculous level of evil. No, like as far as what I did, when I became a comedian was there were just very small steps. One, sit down and write jokes. Two, sign up for open mic. Three, have the balls to go up there when they call your name. Four, no matter how bad or good it goes, sign up for another open mic. And I just kept, you know, you kind of, if you look too far down the fucking road, it's going to become overwhelming when you're going after something like that. You just handle what you can handle that day. And I would do that. I can tell you that if you're going to just start being a stand-up comedian, L.A. is a really hard place to start. You kind of want to have your act together and have a little bit of momentum when you go out there. But if you want to act and be an actor, I mean, that's where there's a ton of work. But, you know, I don't know when you're going to go out to L.A., but I'm sure wherever you live at, there's some sort of place where you can start taking acting classes, which is probably what I would do, you know? Look, if you just need a change of scenery and you want to go out in the fun and the sun and go live down on the beach, Los Angeles and greater Los Angeles, like south of there and everything, is one of the great places you could ever live in your life. I know there's a ton of traffic, but still, some of the most beautiful women you're ever going to see. You know, and if you get outside of L.A., most of them aren't even in the business, so now they're just a beautiful woman on a beach, you know? And if that doesn't pick up your spirits, I don't know what will. But, you know, if you seriously want to become an actor and that type of thing, wherever you're at, I would start taking some acting classes to see if you actually do have a knack for it, slash if you have a passion for it. Do you go down there, you start acting, and then that makes you want to read some plays, or it makes you want to go rewatch some movies to learn? If you get like the bug, you know, and you really feel like this is something you want to pursue, then I would work my ass off on that when I felt like I had my act together and I maybe done a play or two. Go out to L.A., get yourself a fucking agent, and welcome to this fucked up business. Well, like I've always said, if a jackass like me can get anywhere, so can you. All right, next one. Follow-up to last week's miserable law student and some ass-kissing. All right, well, I'm going to go blow past the fucking ass-kissing. We'll read a follow-up. Bill, first off, I'm sorry about the length of this email. I know you are busy. Look, you don't have to sugarcoat it. You just write, Bill, sorry about the length of this email. I know you suck at reading out loud. Anyways, I am a lawyer, and this is just how I write and think. I implore you to take 10 minutes to read it. You know what? When anybody uses the word implore, and just because you said you're a lawyer, I just pictured you're speaking to the jury and you just clapped both your hands together, like clasped them together. I implore you to look at the evidence. Whatever. That I am generally thanking you for being a good man. If you want to use some of it or all of it, feel free. If not, then no hard feelings. I promise not to show up to your house and money more. All right. Okay. Last week, you read a letter from a kid who finished his first year of law school who was trying to decide whether to drop out. He noted that he hated law school, and was unhappy. You told him to walk away. Speaking as an attorney with 10 years, 100 trials, murders, rapers, you name it, please let me say this. Your advice was spot on. Oh, my God. I thought you were going to go the other way. I thought you were going to be like, listen, law school is terrible, but once you get out of it and get into the exciting world of sitting next to a rapist who you know did it, but for some reason you have to defend him, it makes it all worthwhile. In my line of work, we use the term jaded. Jaded is the state where an attorney no longer gives a shit about his clients. He simply does his job out of obligation and the need to bring in a paycheck. Dude, how the fuck can you be in that mindset when somebody's freedom is on the line? Dude, I swear to God, life is so fucking scary. Once again, one of the dumber things I've said. Nothing will ever be dumber than when I was on Joe Rogan's podcast and whatever the fuck I said about science. Like, science is, like, fascinating. It's neat. I said something really stupid like that. Science is, like, amazing. Listen to the Joe Rogan Experience, by the way. Or reach out to one of his listeners, and I'm sure they can tell you where it is in that podcast where I said it. It's really... It was so dumb, I wasn't even embarrassed. I almost felt like... I felt a freedom. You know, almost like I was... Like someone, if they come out of the closet, you know? I was coming out of the closet of stupidity. I was tired of pretending to be this person that I wasn't. Is he in the closet, stupid, or is he out of the closet? He's out of the closet. He announced to the world, like that Ellen, remember that? Yep, I'm gay. I should have been on the cover of Time magazine. Yep, I'm stupid, right? Shrugging, fucking little mixer in front of me as I record the podcast. All right, Bill, we get it. Okay, I have 15 cases tomorrow, this lawyer says. Each of which is a human being facing prison, some for decades. The truth is that I don't give a shit about a single one. Oh, my God. I'll do my job, but be it via the path of least resistance. I just want to get back to my office and check LATimes.com. I should probably offer some excuse, but I won't. Truth is that every criminal defense attorney gets this way within 3 years of passing the bar. Wow. Are you just speaking for yourself and thinking it's everybody? Are you serious? Oh, my God. God help me if I ever have to fucking go to get a defense attorney. Jesus Christ. Anyways, between my first and second years of law school, I learned that I love commercial aviation. Oh, so here it is. So, no, dude, you can't tell. You can't say all lawyers are like this. You want to be a pilot, right? Wait a second. He says, not flying, but rather the aircraft itself. I love every little nook and cranny, every little screw and spring, but I ignored my passion and pressed forward. Instead of following a dream and moving to Seattle, where Boeing is based, I took a big paycheck as a public defender. Every day now, I look in the mirror and wonder what could have been. All right, wait a minute. Okay, so then you can't lump all attorneys, because some people, it's their dream to be an attorney, and they want to go there, and they want to do something well. I know a couple of great attorneys. I have a great attorney. The guy's a fucking animal. He's up there prowling the stage, killing the crowd, but doing it in a legal field. Ah, dude, this fucking kills me. In all seriousness, this kills me like nothing else. Hearing stories of people wanting to do other things and they're not doing it. Dude, what's to stop you from quitting right now and just doing it? It's not like you're 80. Anyways, between my first and second years of law school, I learned that I love commercial. I already read that part. Sorry. The sad truth is that the law student who emailed you will not listen to your advice. He'll finish. Now, that's not true, sir. Let's not superimpose your life. But OK, he'll finish law school since he's already committed. If you ever get the chance, tell him that after he ignores you, he does not need to practice law. A law degree opens a ton of doors. But the minute you take the bar, you commit yourself to a life of pain and unhappiness. I'm not kidding. Of the 100-plus lawyers I know, not a single one likes their work. Every one of them will tell you not to go to law school. Walk away from the bar. Go become a broker. Go teach at a JC, junior college. Go work for a business. Open a spearfishing business in Bali. Whatever. Just don't go and take the bar. There are two reasons I'm writing you today. The second, that I want to commend you and say that you are not a cunt. You speak your mind using language you choose. You followed your close path and have made the sacrifices necessary to later reap the rewards. But more than that, you have integrity and honor, and for that I thank you. Jesus, dude, don't put me on that pedestal. I'm a fucking moron. And I have regrets too. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and start screaming like Ron Burgundy. Ha! Ha! Trying to fucking get those thoughts of regret out of my head. We all have regrets, sir. And it's not too late for you to move to fucking Seattle. You know what's stopping you from moving to Seattle? One conversation with the fucking people you work with and a couple of suitcases that need to be filled. That's it. Who gives a fuck? I'll tell you, dude, you should follow your heart, man. And it's not too late. I don't give a fuck if you got kids and you're married. Move them. Right? Just move them up there. Save up some money. Fucking move up there. Live a little more modest. It's a beautiful part of the country. And, you know, your kids will watch. They'll see somebody pursuing a dream. You'll be in a better mood. You'll be a better husband and father if you're married. All right? And if you're single, you got no fucking excuse. All right? Pack up all your three-piece Matlock suits and go to Seattle. Anyways, a few months back, a listener wrote about how his girlfriend was upset because he went to a strip club and put oil on a woman's tits. Your response was telling. Your advice was to reverse the situation in his mind, then apologize. It was brilliant. It was the advice that one man gives to another. I could come up with countless examples, but they'd all be saying the same thing. You tell your listeners to be fair and honest with their women. Do I? I always think I come off as a misogynistic douchebag there. You tell the sad and depressed to try to get out and then seek help if unable. You tell your young to save their money, and you tell people not to use drugs but for legitimate reasons. I could go on and on, but I'd be repeating the point. Sad point is that your podcast demonstrates what it is to be a good man. Jesus Christ, I wish Nia was listening to this shit. She'd be laughing her ass off. I appreciate this. He said, you, sir, are a good man. Never let that voice in your head tell you otherwise. Well, listen, I don't know. It's killing me that people like yourself, you're acting like wherever you live, between you and Seattle, like you're behind, you know, the old fucking Eastern Bloc, and there's a bunch of guard towers, you know, and there's some sort of war zone between you and Seattle. There isn't. You know, sir, you could actually practice law in Seattle, you know, if you just wanted to make money on the side, you know. Listen, sit down tonight and figure out a fucking way to get your ass to Seattle. And I guarantee you, when you sit down and you start writing it out, your game plan, you're going to feel the excitement that you're missing being a lawyer. And being a lawyer is not a bad job. It's just not what you were supposed to do. Okay? Because I guarantee you, the same way you look at an airplane and you love every screw, every spring, every nook and cranny of an aircraft, there's lawyers who, they love the smell of a courtroom. They love that big wooden fucking desk. They love the closing argument. They love that moment, the turn, you know, whatever, where you're just fucking flipping around on the other guy. You know? They love defending. They love prosecuting. They love the fucking sound of their shoes walking across the courtroom. They love it. They fucking love it. You do not love it. So, my advice to you is get your fucking ass to Seattle. All right? Jesus Christ. Who gives it? What are you worried about, sir? What are you not going to have? Flat screen TV doesn't cost shit now. You'll have enough. Dude, as long as you're willing to make the fucking sacrifice, you can make it happen, all right? What's the matter? What are you going to eat? You know, I have to eat fucking grape nuts every day. Who gives a fuck? You know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch. Who gives a fuck? You know? Watch this thing on 60 Minutes about fucking boy soldiers. People, kids getting kidnapped, turned into murderers. You know? Don't even have a fucking childhood. They get sucked right into fighting a goddamn war, following this goddamn, basically the closest thing to a zombie I've ever seen in my life. And their whole lives get fucking ruined. You know? You're a lawyer in a free country who wants to move to Seattle. Don't fucking disappoint me. You better write me back and tell me you're in Seattle. All right? But please, for the love of God, don't ever become a jaded pilot. Oh, my God, I'm so fucking bored with flying. I just have this feeling that I just want to push the fucking, what is it, the yoke? Whatever the fuck, the goddamn stick. Sometimes I feel like I just want to push it forward. Crazy X, Billiam, catching up on the podcast. And you just told a story about a woman you used to date that threatened to kill you and then made a tin of brownies. No, she said she was going to stab me. She didn't say fatally. That's where you ended the story. Dude, how did you finally get rid of her? In case you're wondering, yes, my life is that dull that I actually give a shit how the story ends. No, I did kind of leave you hanging. How did I get rid of her? I was really young and naive, and this is what she would do. She would call me up, and I would pick up the phone. This is before caller ID and shit. So I would pick the phone up, and it would be her, and then I would be, listen, I don't want to talk to you, and then she'd start crying. And I was an idiot because I thought she was crying legitimately. I didn't realize that it was a manipulation tactic to make me feel bad and make me feel like I'm a fucking bully. So I'd stay on the phone, talk her down, and be nice to her where she wasn't crying anymore. And then we would end with a nice ending to the phone conversation. But in her psycho stalker world, that meant that we were somehow still connected and back together, and then she would call me again, and I would say, listen, I don't want to talk to you. Then she'd start crying. It was this fucking circle that I couldn't get out of. cycle, I should say. You know what's funny? Ever since Dan Cook's Vicious Circle came out, I never say Vicious Cycle anymore. It was a cycle I could not get out of. So finally, my manager at the time just says, listen. Because I said, what the fuck do I do? He goes, listen, when she calls, you pick up the phone. If it's her, just hang up. Just hang up. And that's what I just started doing. I would pick up the phone. And she'd be like, Billy? And I would just click. I just hang up. And within 10 days, she stopped fucking calling me. I mean, granted, at that point, I was living on the other side of the country for half of the fucking time. But I just kept hanging up. And I did have the advantage, like I said, of not still being in the same city. But what you have to do is if you have a girl like that is you just, or a guy. Well, a guy is different. I really feel bad for women when it comes to shit like that because guys, you know, I guess there are women out there that actually take it to some ridiculous violent level, but obviously guys do it more often. But so this is my advice for guys. If you have some crazy lady in your fucking life, that's what you do. You can't give them anything because people like that, you give them one little fucking ray of light, they latch onto that and they think you guys are getting fucking married or some shit. All right. That's the crazy ex. That's how it ended. I just stopped fucking. It's not really exciting. I just kept fucking hanging up on her. And eventually she went away. And every once in a while, she would try to fucking reach back out. And I just nothing. Beat it. Leave me alone. I think she reached out and tried to friend me on MySpace a long time ago, and I just did not accept it, and then that's the last I ever heard of her. That's how you do it. All right, cancer lady question. Morning, Bill. Big fan. Go fuck yourself. I've got myself into an inevitable situation and now need some advice on how to get myself out of it. A few months back, I started seeing this girl who, a few weeks in, found out she could potentially have cancer. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, dude. Wow. I wasn't that into this girl to begin with, but figured I'd have some fun, and when the time came to end it, I would. But after she told me about the possible cancer diagnosis, I felt bad for wanting to end it, so like an idiot, I stuck around. Ugh, Jesus. Well, if you're young, I can't fault you for that. You know, now you think you're fucking doing her, you're doing her a favor, you're actually making it worse. Oh, my God, dude. I'm getting, like, douche chills. How do you get out of this? Oh, because no matter what, it's going to make it seem like you left because she had cancer. Anyways, a few months have passed, and the cancer scare is over. But now I'm stuck in this situation. No, you're not. That's your green light. Fucking screen door's open. Run out of there. Needless to say, she's a lot more into this relationship than I am. And I just want out and away from her maniac kids ASAP. Dude, I bet you fucking dimes to dollar there was no cancer fucking scare. I bet she did that to suck you into the fucking relationship. I saw a thing on TV the other day, and you know, God knows if you see it on TV, it's got to be true. Some woman did that. Told everybody that she was dying of cancer, including her fucking boyfriend. The fuckhead went ahead and married her. Idiot. Anyways, he said, is there a smooth way out of this clusterfuck without making it obvious that I only stuck around because of the cancer? Is there a good exit strategy? Thanks for the help and come to Toronto soon, asshole. There's no smooth way out of a fucking relationship. There isn't. You just have to sit down and say, listen, we need to talk. And then they go, okay. And you say, listen, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I think you're a great person and everything, but I'm just not feeling like you're the one. Boom. Right there. What did that take? 8 seconds to say that? You just say it and just get it out there and then let the fucking chips fall. She's going to cry. She might scream. She might throw shit at you. You know, neighbors will be peeking through their curtains. But just say that. Okay? She might try to get you to fucking go back in, you know, manipulate. Well, maybe we can work it out. Would you want to talk to somebody? Maybe we could talk to somebody about it. This is truly what I'm feeling. And it isn't fair to you for me to continue sticking around. It's just preventing you from meeting the person you're supposed to be with and myself also. I'm sorry. I feel horrible, but I have to be honest with you. And you can't fuck with that. And then you're out. I mean, no, you're not out. You got to sit through another 180 minutes of fucking histrionics and everything, but you're out, okay? And you just sit down and you tell yourself, sir, that you know what? Today at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm talking to my girlfriend, soon to be my ex-girlfriend, and you know what? From 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock is going to suck fucking donkey fucking balls, all right? But 5:01 on is going to be great, all right? This is like you're a fucking junkie. I saw that on one of those fucking doctor shows. The fuck is it? I can't remember shit anymore. He was basically talking about how addicts will go through fucking 8, 9, 10 years of hell because they don't want to go through 10 days of detox. Rather than dealing with 10 days of fucking retching and vomiting and feeling like your fingernails hurt, 10 days of that, you're going to go through 10 days of hell and be living out on a fucking street just to avoid those 10 days of fucking withdrawals. That's what you're doing if you stay in a fucking relationship you don't want to be in. All right? Just get the fuck out. Get out now and make me proud. All right. Dilemma. Dear Bill, your Monday morning podcast has become religion over the past 5 weeks. I came to see you at the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee a year ago or so and have been a fan ever since. I just thought I might bring to your attention a question that my roommates and I disagree upon completely. In a fight to the death against an opponent of equal size, strength, and skill, which weapon would you rather have on your side? A 20-ounce hammer with a nail-removing hook on the end, or a 28-ounce wooden Louisville slugger? The question is, that's not even, it's a joke. The question is, which is the better weapon? And your opponent is essentially you. The fucking Louisville slugger. Without a fucking doubt. A Louisville slugger, I can get you from a distance. What the fuck are you going to do with your hammer? You got a hammer, you got to get inside. Unless you're going to throw it at me. And I got a bat, I'll fucking hit it right back at you. I'll hit it over your head. Now you have no fucking weapon. And now I'm coming. All right? Doing that fucking over-under, right in front of my face. I could literally have that thing. Okay, I bat fucking right-handed. There, the secret's over. You now know my stats. Throws right. Bats fucking right. Drums right. Plays guitar lefty. Writes lefty. I'm all over the fucking map. So I'd have it in my left hand, my front hand. Like if I was up at bat, and I would come in, do a couple step in, step out, step in, step out, and then I just fucking whack you in your shin. And as you did that stupid little hop, I'm coming up top now. I'm doing short, quick ones. Pop, pop, real quick. Fucking you up so you can't, so you don't catch the bat. And then as you really start getting fucked up, then now I'm going for a double. Then I'm going up the fucking goddamn warning track, and then that's it. And I'm swinging for a home run, and you're fucking done. Split your head like a fucking melon. Fuck you and your hammer. It's over. Whoever's picking the hammer is thinking, like, what would I rather get hit with? Once with a bat or once with a hammer? Hammer's made out of metal. Bat's made out of wood. What's the stronger fucking material? Obviously a goddamn hammer, right? Metal. All right, but what they're not thinking about is the distance. You know what? Why don't you call in the Joe Rogan podcast? Joe Rogan Experience. You'd be able to break that down. All right, people. You know what? That's the podcast for this week. Here's what's going on at the All Things Comedy Network. We got Deep Shit with Baron Vaughn. On March, okay, Deep Shit with Baron Vaughn, he recorded a half hour in Boston, it's coming up, and it's going to be on TV at some point. Really? But that's the promo that I get? Ah, jeez, fucking, what are we doing over here? Baron Vaughn recorded a half hour special on March 11th for Comedy Central, look out for it. So did Joe DeRosa over there. Why didn't I look this over? The Flophouse. Episode number 122, The Flophouse live show on June 8th in Tribeca, 200 Hudson Street. Tickets not on sale yet. I'm an idiot. I can't even fucking read this shit. What's wrong with me? You know what? I'm just going to read the final advertisement for this week, and then I'm going to tell you a funny story. Actually, I'm not. I just said that I'm going to tell you a funny story because I wanted you to fucking hang in there.
That's what I did. You see what I did there? I just fucking lied to you. After that lawyer said that I was a great man, I just lied to you. I know what. The teaser. Remember I was talking about Ting at the beginning of this podcast? Now you're thinking, what is Ting? Ting is a mobile service. Mobile, that makes sense. Ting is no BS mobile service. It's an MVNO reseller of the nationwide Sprint network. They got a new hotspot. They've just added a 3G/4G WiMAX hotspot to the Ting lineup. The Sierra Wireless Overdrive Pro can be had and refurbished for just $30. In February, they added the option to purchase used devices via our partnership with Glide. You know, I always wondered what they did with those phones when you gave them back to them. It's wonderful so you can finally buy them. You know, you're actually recycling and getting a better cell phone service. Bring your own LTE Sprint device. The option to bring a Sprint device has been around for a while, but there was a limitation. No LTE devices could make the move. Ting has been working to have to remove this limitation, and now many LTE Sprint devices are able to make the move to Ting. How is Ting different? They got no contracts or ETFs, no bundling or ride-along services, no overages, charges, or penalties, credits, or unused service, no add-on charges, no mysterious line items on your bill. You getting the idea here? No BS. They have a no-hold customer support line. You can call them and actually get a person on the line at 1-855-TING-FTW. Anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and a real person will actually pick up the phone. They also have excellent online support at help.ting.com. So if you want to, you know, lower your cell phone costs so you can move to Seattle and go after your dream, bill.ting.com. That's what you want to go visit. All right? That's the podcast for the week. You guys all have a great week. Don't talk yourself out of your dreams. Go fuck yourself, and I'll talk to you next week. Oh, hey, thanks to everybody who's come out to my shows all this week. I almost forgot to do that. All right, and now go fuck yourself.